Well, new friends, old friends, nice teachers and mean teachers. School is back in session. And if you're a young person, you're probably thinking, well, why in the world are you reminding me about school? I mean, I have to go back tomorrow. And yes, that is true. But school doesn't have to be a dreadful experience. School should be an experience or a time where you grow spiritually. But if that doesn't motivate you, regardless of how you look at it, you have to go back to school tomorrow. And so, how will you make this year worthwhile? How will you make the most of tomorrow at school? And so, it's time to step out and stand up. You know, school is a great place to meet hundreds of young people and spend time with them, as you all have to do 5 days a week for approximately 40 weeks a year. And there's a great opportunity that I nor your parents have to influence the lives of people, to be a light to the people that are around us. And here's the great thing about it. Who better to reach your age group than you? You know what your age group likes. You know what people relate to. And so you are the best person to influence them spiritually. And the way you live your lives and the way you talk about the Lord and love Him can be a powerful illustration as to how people ought to live their lives. And so what I want to do is I want to share with you a few ways that you can step out and stand up when you go back to school this year so you can make it worthwhile. But let's begin reading in Daniel chapter 1, and we're going to read all 21 verses and then we'll make our application. Daniel chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. In the year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God, and he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, youths in whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Now among them from the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them. And to Daniel he assigned the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials, and the commander of the officials said to Daniel, I am afraid of my lord the king, who has appointed your food and your drink, for why should he see your faces looking more haggard than the youths who are your own age? Then you would make me forfeit my head to the king. But Daniel said to the overseer whom the commander of the officials had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days, and let us be given some vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be observed in your presence and the appearance of the youths who are eating the king's choice food, and deal with your servants according to what you see. So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their appearance seemed better, and they were fatter than all the youths who had been eating the king's choice food. So the overseer continued to withhold their choice food and the wine they were to drink and kept giving them vegetables. As for these 4 youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. Then, at the end of the days which the king had specified for presenting them, the commander of the officials presented them before Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with him, and out of them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's personal service. As for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in all his realm. And Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. You can step out and stand up. Number one, or the first point, is because God is counting on you. In verse 1 and 2, we see that God had brought judgment on his people. But we need to not look at this as a bad thing. This was actually a good thing because through the faith of 4 Hebrew boys, God would use them to bless the unbelieving nation around them. And may I suggest that God is counting on you to use your faith and knowledge of him to share that with people so that they can also turn to him. That means that you are important to him, that God wants your help, and so you can confidently take on the task this year because God is counting on you. But I give you another motivation as to why you can step out and stand up, and it is because God is looking out for you. He did that for Daniel. And isn't it wonderful that God doesn't just leave us alone, you and I, to impact the world? No, he looks out for us. In verse 9, the text says, God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. And so in other words, God does his part. Are we going to do our part? In other words, God is on our side. Are we on his? And so will you have the courage to take a stand as Daniel did? Verse 8, but Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. You know, when someone has had enough with someone's mistreatment of them, you might usually see them stomp their foot and say, no, I've had enough. And you might get the idea that is exactly what Daniel did. Daniel said, no, I will not give in to the ways of the world. But the interesting thing about this and what's encouraging is that Daniel was about 14 to 15 years old. And so to appreciate Daniel's resolve, you have to understand that he was separated from his family, separated from his home without any personal accountability. And you add to that all of the foreign philosophies and beliefs, the day-to-day exposures to sinful pleasures, the worldly glories and everything that was surrounding him. Daniel did not yield to any of it, but he resolved to not defile himself. Daniel did not compromise what he knew to be true and right. In other words, in our language, he drew the line in the sand. And so when you go back to school and people are dressing inappropriate, you might remind yourself that I am going to honor God in everything that I wear. And when you encounter people who are using bad language, you remind yourself that I'm going to use my tongue for God's praise and his glory. And I'm going to use my tongue to make sure that people are edified by the words that I say. And when people are using their bodies for sinful purposes, you remember, you take your stand that I was bought with a price and I'm going to glorify God and my body and all that I do. That is exactly what Daniel did, and those are some practical points to help you all also take your stand. But in addition to taking our stand, you all need to be confident in what you believe. You know, going to school, people are going to come with their own beliefs and philosophies about life, or how did I come to be, or who is God, and what's the reason for my existence? And you know, Daniel had the same challenge. If you look in verses 3 through 7, 4 times, the text says the king appointed, one in verse 1, one in verse 4, the other verse 5, and the latter part in verse 5 as well. The king changed their education in verse 4. He ordered him to teach them the language and literature of the Chaldeans. In verse 5, he changed what they ate. The king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and the wine which he drank. In verse 7, the government official assigned new names to reflect the gods that they would serve. So they had all of these worldly enticements and all of these philosophies handed to them on a silver platter. And what did Daniel do? He did not yield to any of those things. He resolved to do the right thing because they couldn't change one thing. They could not change what he knew to be true and right. And neither can the people around you. And so you be assured and be confident of what you have come to believe. But there's another step that if we're going to step out and stand up, there's another process to this. And that is once you take the courage and take your stand, you make sure that you point people to God's way. You know, Daniel is under a lot of pressure. First, he said no to defiling himself. Now, that's big already. I mean, because now you're telling a pagan king that you're not going to do what he asks you to do. And then he takes it a step further and he seeks permission. He wants a food alternative, as we might say. And so if I'm standing next to Daniel, I'm thinking, well, dude, do you know who you're talking to? I mean, this is a government official, and with the snap of his finger, he can have you taken out. But God intervenes. God does not forget about Daniel. He shows him favor. Now, the interesting thing is that the text doesn't tell us that Daniel knew that God showed him favor. But we do see that Daniel is willing to show what he values, to show what he approves, and to point this official to God's way. And you know, we look at this food and drink. We may think it's a small thing, but to Daniel, it meant defiling himself if he partook. Because if the king's food and drink was certainly offered to idols, if it was deemed unclean because of the law, or if it was improperly blooded, he would be violating God's law. But whatever the case was, Daniel determined to not partake of it. And so Daniel says, please test us. And he says, if broccoli and water is better than the best beef in the kingdom and the most expensive wine, then you decide what is best. And verse 14, he says, so he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, their appearance seemed better, and they were fatter than all the youths who had been eating the king's choice food. So the overseer continued to withhold their choice food and the wine they were to drink and kept giving them vegetables. Verse 16, the official's heart had been changed because Daniel, he had the courage to stand up, to take a stand, but he also had the conviction to point him to God's way and show that his way is better. And so how do we apply this? Well, I think one is dare to be different, as the old slogan goes. You know, a lot of people just want to be like everybody. It's difficult to stand out because you're outnumbered, and so you seem like the world is against you. And you may also feel like when you're at school that no one cares about the Lord and that you're the only person. But be encouraged by the fact that, number one, you don't have to give in to your fears and your compromises. You don't have to give in to the gossip and the materialism and the slander and the ways of this world. You can be different because God chose you to be different. And you can have the faith and the conviction to point people to Jesus because he is the way, the truth, and the life. But secondly, have the courage to express your convictions. You know, when Daniel resolved that he wasn't going to eat anything, he didn't allow fear, he didn't allow compromise to sway his decision. He stood firm in what he believed, and he asked the official, can we do something different? He pointed to them a better way to live. And may I suggest that when we express our convictions and have the courage to do that, people will respect that, and people's lives are often changed. And so the Bible encourages us to pray for boldness, as the apostles did in Acts chapter 4, and be willing to express your faith and convictions as they did once they received that boldness. They went on teaching and proclaiming Jesus as the Christ. And so may we follow that same example. And for the parents, I saw this prayer online, and I thought it was a really helpful thing. And so if you'd like, you can pray it for your kids. Lord, I pray that my kids will develop an eternal perspective and purpose, not an earthly one. Help them to see life and every challenge through your eyes, eager and unafraid to share with others the good news of Jesus wherever they go. I pray that they will set their minds on things above, not just what's going on here, and that they will be rooted and grounded in your love. I pray that they will come to understand the extent of your own love for them, that it surpasses all the head knowledge they will acquire in school. Well, you can step out and stand up because God is counting on you, but he's also looking out for you. So have the courage to take a stand and be confident in what you believe and have the conviction to point other people to Jesus. But I want to give you something else. And remember this, is that God has blessed you richly. God has blessed you richly. Verse 17 through 21. As for these four youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. God has blessed you, but he's also given you an ability. And he wants you to use that ability as God gave Daniel and his three friends what they needed to serve the king. He gave them knowledge and intelligence. And if you're reminded, if you go back to verse 4, this is what King Nebuchadnezzar wanted the young men to have. He said, I want to have men who show intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who has ability for serving in the king's court. So God blessed Daniel and his three friends with something that the other men did not have. And the gift that they had, it separated them from the rest of the crowd, so they stood out. And it got to the point where Nebuchadnezzar was so impressed. He said, wow, I mean, look at these guys. They are different. They are 10 times better than anybody that I have in my kingdom. And so you know what? They're ready. They're suitable for service. And you know what? God has gifted you with his truth. He's gifted you with the ability to share his word. You know, our world, we don't need more singers or more professional athletes. The world needs people like you who love the Lord and you love his ways, and you'll tell people about him in word and in deed. So we'll use what you have for God's glory, and hopefully others will see God in you and will glorify him. But lastly, God has given you the ability, and so that means you're going to succeed. Yes, making good grades are good. I'm not discrediting that, parents. But your love for the Lord is even better. So be most concerned about spiritual success. You know, many of your peers are going to think of success in terms of, you know, I get my car and everybody's going to like me and everybody's going to want to ride around with me. Or they're going to look at success in terms of good looks or how many followers I have and how many people know me. But spiritual success is not determined by those external things. It is determined by the fact that you care about others more than you care about yourself. It's the mentality of how may I serve you rather than how may you serve me. It's about doing what your parents ask you to do the first time and doing it with joy and gladness of heart. And Daniel and his three friends, they were successful not because of looks or popularity, but because they did what God wanted them to do. They used their God-given abilities, and they were successful. Notice verse 20, verse 19. So they entered the king's personal service. Verse 20, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers in all his realm. Verse 21, Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. God has blessed you with the God-given ability, and so be sure you use that for his glory and your success. You know, it's interesting that God told Joshua, as our brother Tim preached this morning, he says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God reminds Joshua, and he reminds us that we have God's word. He says, meditate on it. Let it consume you and control your thoughts and your actions. But he also says, you have my presence, that he'll never leave nor forsake you, so you can be confident that you will succeed. And if I were to share anything with my young sisters and brothers in the faith, this is one thing that I would share with my sisters in the faith. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. And for my younger brothers in the faith, know this, that handsome looks pass away and muscles soon decay, but a man who fears the Lord, he will be blessed. That is what true success is doing what God wants you to do and making sure that you fear him and nothing else. And I have another prayer for the parents. Parents get application in this too. Lord, I pray that my kids will develop a passion for the things of God. I pray they will hunger and thirst for you and your word and will love you with all of their heart, soul, and mind. Give them compassionate and generous hearts to love others as much as you love them. I pray they will always work and study with excellence, but that you will help them desire a servant spirit of greatness rather than a worldly lust for success. And may God help you all do that. You know, it was King Louis who was king at the time, but he was dethroned by some people. And unfortunately, they took his son hostage, just like to another foreign country, just like Daniel had been taken from Judah to Babylon. And the story goes as this. They took him to a community far away and exposed him to every filthy and vile thing that life could offer. They exposed him to foods, the richness of which would quickly make him a slave to appetite. They used vile language around him constantly. They exposed him to lewd and lusting women. They exposed him to dishonor and distrust. 24 hours a day, by everything that could drag the soul of a man as low as one could slip, he was exposed to. And for over 6 months of this treatment, not once did he buckle under pressure. And finally, after this intensive pressure, they asked him, "Why are you not doing these things?" And he simply said these words, "I cannot do what you ask, for I was born to be a king." And I think the question comes down to this: will you conform or will you transform? Just like this king's son who was born to be a king, as Christians, we are born to transform. A person who conforms, they're going to do what everybody else is doing around them. But a person who transforms, they're willing to step up and stand out because they know that God is counting on them, but he's also looking out for them. They're going to be willing to have courage to take a stand and be confident in what they believe, but also have the courage and the conviction to point people to God's way because his way is better. And they'll never forget the fact that God has blessed them richly and they have a God-given ability, and so they're going to succeed no matter what. I would ask, can we say a prayer for our children as they go back to school for tomorrow? Our gracious and eternal Father, we are so grateful for your wise words that you have given through us through your Bible. We pray, good Father, that you be with our children, that they might have a desire and a passion to serve you. They may have an undying love and a commitment to honor you and your ways. May you be with them in all that they do. May they not give in to what the world around them is doing, but may they sanctify their hearts and may they keep them pure because they understand the value of their lives and where they are going eternally. We love you so much and we thank you for your good word, and we pray that this lesson will help them in their weeks to come. We love you so much and we thank you for everything. It's in your Son Jesus Christ's name we pray and we give thanks. Amen. Well, the invitation is open to anyone who needs to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus died for you, and he wants you to come to heaven with him, but you first have to obey his word. And so if that is you and you're subject to the invitation, we want you to come forward now as we stand and as we sing.